South Becker D. Thank you, Glenford. You're right. We can't change God's position. We can't change who He is in any way by what we do. But there is something that does change, and that's us, right? If I bless the Lord, that changes me. If I don't bless the Lord, that changes me, right? So it's a very, very important thing for us to do. That picture is really dark. Why don't you turn these lights off, too, up here? It might help a little bit. When we were singing that song, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock," what did you think about? Okay, his protection. Okay, I had to think about, but there's something that I had to think about along with that. It said, "And he covers me there with his hand." Does that feel a little bit overprotected? We're in the cleft of the rock. We're safe there, but might feel a little overprotected when he covers us with his hand. I'm not sure. If I stood up here this evening and I said, "Dana has told me to tell you that he wants to spend time alone with each of you," what would you think? Huh? What are you saying, Sheldon?
Well, you're probably in trouble.
Okay. Yeah, you were skipping out, so you probably are in trouble. If, as a child, your parent said, "I want to spend time alone with you," what kind of thoughts came to your mind? Okay, made a difference how you were behaving. Somebody else started saying something. Okay, something special. All right. Oh, yeah. There's kind of a little background that goes with that, right? Yeah, somehow when my dad called me into the room alone, it wasn't always a good thing. All right. I want us to think this evening about being alone with Jesus. And I don't know, maybe that whole idea has something to do with how we're behaving, possibly. Whether the idea of being alone with Jesus is something that we look forward to or we anticipate. It's something that we anticipate, something that, you know, we dread. What kind of things are we looking at? When we think about being alone with Jesus, I want us to think this evening of what kind of blessings are there for us if we take the time to be alone with Jesus. Is Jesus ever too busy to be alone with us? Is he ever bugged? We say, "Lord, I need some time with you." Does he say, "I don't have time. You've been bugging me for 3 days now, and I, you know." No, he doesn't. So being alone with Jesus is something that we have to make the choice for, right? So Jesus is there, he's waiting, he wants to be alone with us. And in wanting to be alone with us, he's got all kinds of things that He wants to share with us. What Lynn talked about this morning, I found in my own life that when I don't take the time to be alone with the Lord, it's really difficult for me to see who I really am. Because like Lynn said, we get focused on ourselves. And so it's important for us to... needs are met as well. That's an important thing. There's blessings there and needs are met. And I think one of the reasons that we often don't find our needs met is because we don't go to where they can get met. You know? We have a storm come, and I really appreciated what Lynn shared this morning. We have a storm come, and we get all wrapped up in the storm, and all we'd have to do is do like Peter, get out of the boat and walk to Jesus, and the storm could be over. Or at least we could be in the presence of the Lord and in calm and confidence. But we often don't do that. Do I recognize the need in my own life to be alone with Jesus? He says, sure, I know. I need to be alone with Jesus. Well, it's one thing to admit that I need to be alone with Jesus. It's another thing to recognize it as a need, isn't it? There's kind of a scale here. The greater my need, the greater, the bigger the need is to me, the more it pushes me into the presence of the Lord, right? As long as the need is small and I can handle it, I don't go into His presence, right? I think that's the way most of us tend to operate. And so if things get really heavy and hard, we kind of get pushed into His presence. So we say, yeah, I recognize the need to be in the presence of the Lord, but do I recognize that on a daily basis? A moment by moment? Am I continually coming to Him, staying in His presence, crying out to Him all the time? Okay, come on. Yeah. Do I have problems that are getting me down? There's storms or issues, things that are just pressing in on me to the place where I have difficulty functioning? I think we've all been there, at least those of us who are mature enough in life to face those kind of things. Those things start to weigh on us, and if we're where we should be, they push us into the arms of Jesus. And I think that's important. Am I limited in my potential because of not getting alone with Jesus? What might Jesus do with me and in me if I really got alone with Him the way I should and the way He wants me to? What might really happen? Have you ever thought about that? God desires to bless us. That's a given. God will bless His people. Now, what blessings look like may look a little different to us than they do to Him. But He longs to bless us. And one of the ways that He wants to bless us is to work through us so that we reach our potential. What Lynn shared this morning, again, about knowing who we are in Christ. Lynn, does that change your potential? A lot. When you know who you are, it just it frees you. It gives you opportunity. It allows you to be what God intended you to be. And so those things are important. We need to be alone with Jesus for learning and understanding. Over in aloneness in learning, because not everyone wants to know, not everyone needs to know. Mark chapter 4, verses 10 and 34. I thought this was an interesting story here. Mark chapter 4, verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And then you go over into verse 34 there, and he says, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. There was a lot of teaching that Jesus did while he was out there with the crowds. But you start reading through the Gospels, and you start to see something. The most significant learning experiences, the most significant growth experiences occurred when people were alone with Jesus, when Jesus drew people away from the crowds and into his own presence. And he spent time with them and he opened their understanding. He gave them a learning and an ability to see things that they did not see. We have that happening here in Mark chapter 4. You know, he'd been teaching, he'd been performing miracles, he's telling all these parables, these stories, and the people love it. They get part of it. But when they get alone, then he starts opening things up. There's only so much that I can give you, or that any teacher or minister can give you. And I've been inspired often by messages. But the only way that those become really meaningful is if you get alone with the Lord and let Him speak that truth deeper and deeper into your heart. Think about it this way. The great teachers only gave their greatest knowledge or their greatest whatever they were sharing with those students who really, really wanted to know. You go into a college class, all the students get the information. But if there's a student that really wants to know, and that student goes and spends time, extra time, alone with the instructor, they're going to get into that subject matter at a level that none of the rest do, right? Those of you that have been to college, is that true? Yeah, that's true. And the same thing is true with us and Jesus. Unless we come and spend that time alone with Him and allow Him to teach us, we're going to stay at a more shallow level. Not that it's not good, not that it's not meaningful, not that it's not important. All that He taught here was good for the crowds. But the most significant teaching, the most significant learning, the most significant understanding happened when they got alone with Jesus. To be alone with, we need to be alone with Jesus for rest and refreshment. The dry and the barren places give opportunity for aloneness with Jesus in Mark chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. In verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. It's interesting. They went to a desert place. One of the things that I think is something very valuable in our lives is times of solitude. To get away from everything that surrounds us and spend time alone with Jesus. There's something restful and refreshing in that that nothing else can do. I remember reading about George Mueller and his prayer life. He often spent sometimes 4 or 5 hours in prayer. And someone asked him one day, why do you spend so much time in prayer? You have so much to do. He said, that's why I spend so much time in prayer. He needed the rest and refreshment that he found in being alone with Jesus in order to fulfill the responsibilities that he faced. Now, I suspect that for most of us it works pretty much the same. We look at our day. For many of us, it starts before we can hardly wake up. And we see all we've got to do and we tear into it and we think, now sometime today I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. And finally, about the time we fall into bed, we say, oh, hi, Lord. Good night. And that's our time with the Lord, or something similar. We don't realize. Let me ask you this question. When do you work best? When you're refreshed and invigorated, or when you're wore out? Kind of a obvious question, right? There's none of us that work better when we're wore out. We all work best when we're refreshed and invigorated. Okay. If coming into the presence of the Lord refreshes and invigorates us, then it becomes pretty important, doesn't it? It becomes pretty valuable. It becomes something that has such deep meaning because it gives us, number one, it gives us a right perspective on our day. It, in that sense, it helps us to accomplish more. It gives us refreshment and strength. It gives us a clarity of thought. Because if we've been in communication with Jesus, our thoughts become clear. You ever have difficulty working because your thoughts were all jumbled and you just couldn't focus? Couldn't get everything to come together. You were thinking about this and this and this and this and this and this, and something else started coming in too, and it just wasn't working. When we spend time alone with Jesus, it clarifies Our mind is rested and restored and clarified so that we're able to face the storms, the issues, the things that come our way, those things that would disrupt our lives. And it's interesting, when you look through the Gospels, many times when the disciples' lives were becoming disoriented, disrupted, stressed, Jesus would pull them off alone. They did a lot of work, they learned a lot, but then He would pull them off by themselves and they would be refreshed and ready to face the next round of things that came their way. We need to spend time alone with Jesus for healing. Aloneness is necessary for wholeness. Mark chapter 7, verse 33. This is a story of a man that was deaf and dumb. And Jesus came to him. They brought him to Jesus. And in verse 33, He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers into his ears, and He spit and touched his tongue. And looking up into heaven, He sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Why do you think Jesus took him off alone? You start looking, you start reading a little bit, and you realize this wasn't the only time this happened. There was often that Jesus performed miracles in a small. There were times when he went with the crowds and did miracles, but there were also these times when he pulled them off to the side. Why do you think Jesus did that with this man? Okay, part of it may have been the unbelief that was in the area, and you know, people just were not accepting him for who he was. What other reasons might you give for him pulling this man off to the side? Okay, good point. Relationship. You know, Jesus wasn't a televangelist that was doing all these things to be seen, that was out there trying to wow the crowds and, you know, bring in a lot of money, whatever might be the possibilities. Jesus cared about this man. Cared about him deeply. He was very important to him. And so Jesus took him off to the side and did this miracle just with him. There were a few others around from the passage that follows there. But he had pulled him away from the crowd. There's something deep and meaningful here, I think. It's wonderful. It's important. It's something that Jesus tells us to do, to come together and worship together, to learn together, to hear the Word together, to fellowship together and encourage one another. But if we really want to be whole, if we really have needs that need to be met, we need to get alone with the Lord. And He wants to be alone with us. I think that's the beauty of this. This was not the man saying, Lord, I want to get alone with You. This was Jesus saying, here, You come over here. You know what? Jesus is saying that to each one of us today. Come. Come. I want personal relationship with You. I want to touch Your life. I want You to be whole. I want Your needs to be met. And again, that's not on our terms. That's on His terms. But that's what He wants for us. I just recently read a book Johnny Erickson Tada wrote just a few years ago. You know that she's a paraplegic since she was a teenager, and she's about my age. And during the last 3 or 4 years of her life, she's suffered immense pain. On top of her paralysis, pain so intense that some days she just has to go lay in bed. She can't even work, can't even be in the office, can't sit in her wheelchair. And she was talking about this whole thing of suffering. And the point that I want to make in this, and the point that really stood out to me, she said she realizes that there is a whole new level of relationship, aloneness with Jesus that's happening in her life because of the pain. She's been a godly woman, had a marvelous impact in our world. But here she is saying that God is working in her life through this pain to draw her into a deeper relationship, into more closeness, more wholeness. Even though her body is suffering more pain, she would say she's more whole today than she ever has been. So I find that interesting. God wants to draw us into this whole thing of wholeness, and He wants that to be for our whole spirit, soul, and body. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and by the way, that's a message that I'm working on right now, this whole thing of spirit, soul, and body, and how we have God's kingdom come and His will be done in every area of our lives. But He says that I want you to be whole in spirit, soul, and body. That's what Paul writes there. So we need to be alone with Jesus. We need to be alone with Jesus also for seeing clearly. We need to stay alone with Jesus until our vision is totally clear. I want to go over to this story, Mark 8, verse 23. Let's just start in verse 22 there. He comes to Bethsaida. They bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything or saw aught. And he looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. He could see that people were moving, but he couldn't begin to identify them. They were real blurry, excuse me. And again, after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and he made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. What if the man would have left as soon as he could see men like trees walking? He said, oh, I'm healed. This is awesome. I've never seen this. I can see men like trees walking. You say, what good does that do? I think there's a lesson here. There's a lesson here for me. I think it's a lesson that's important. One of the things that's easy to do is when we get alone with the Lord and the Lord begins to speak to us, we hear some things from Him, we learn some things from Him, It comes on us so, it overwhelms us so much, it's almost like, wow, and away we go. And I can imagine that this blind man could have been in that condition. I mean, if you'd been blind, and now all of a sudden you could see that well, that would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? But there's a lesson here, and that is we need to stay alone with Jesus until our vision is totally clear. How often have you gone to the Lord with a problem? And you spent some time with Him there, and things started to get kind of... They went from totally dark to blurry. And you say, that's good enough. I think I'm getting the help I need, and away we go. What would happen if we would stay alone with Him until our vision totally cleared? And we were able to go and function the way He wants us to function. I just have to think of that when I think of this man. How the Lord is able. Why do you think Jesus did this? Why didn't Jesus just touch the man and he could see right away? He did that with others. Why didn't he do that here? Why might, we don't know for sure, but why might he have done that? Any ideas? I think he kind of wanted to see how badly this man really wanted to see. I think he also wanted to teach us a lesson about the importance of staying in his presence until the need is met. I think there's a lesson there for us. We need to stay alone with Jesus for revelation, for insight, for understanding the things of life, the important things. Unless we spend time alone with Him, we'll never see His glory. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with Him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller, no laundry person on earth could ever make them that white. How many people saw that? Three. Why didn't all the disciples see it? For one, Jesus hadn't called them to come with Him there. But there seems to be an indication that these disciples had a special closeness with the Lord. We see that on a number of occasions throughout the Scripture. What does it mean when it says Jesus was transfigured? Okay, He was changed. Some kind of change took place. And it explains it a little bit. It says how His clothes became just glowing white. Just so white. Totally white. Now, there was only one way to see that. What was that? To be there alone with Jesus, right? It wasn't going to be on camera. It wasn't something you could find on the internet. It was not something that all the rest of the disciples would ever get to see in that way. But those three were able to have some insight, some revelation. They were able to see the glory of the Lord in a way that the rest didn't. Now in Isaiah it tells us that the whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. So many people can see the glory of the Lord in a number of ways. The rest of the disciples saw His glory in a number of ways. But only those who spend time alone with Him are going to see the beauty of holiness. The glory, the glowing, the shining. Remember when Moses went into the presence of God to receive the Ten Commandments? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Moses' face shone. The people said, "You got to put something over your face. We can't stand to look at you." How long was Moses alone with the Lord? You remember? 40 days. 40 days he spent with the Lord. Suppose maybe our faces might glow a little more if we spent that much time alone with the Lord instead of being grouchy and all the other things that our faces show. I think it's important for us to realize that truth and all of these truths. Alone with Jesus, get there. Take the time. Take the effort. I guarantee you, if you do that, it will be worth it. I think one of the other things that George Mueller said, he said, "It often takes me an hour before I can get into the presence of the Lord." He said, I'm struggling with my own thoughts. I'm struggling with all the things that are going on in life. He said, "Oftentimes it takes me an hour until I actually get into the presence of the Lord and there find strength, find grace, find help, find hope, find blessings that He longs to give to every one of us." You know what? There's not one of us here tonight that He does not long, desperately long, to spend time with. He wants that. He loves that. It's His heart. And He rewards those that diligently seek Him. "In the day that you seek for me with all your heart, you'll find me." Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, we thank You. We were amazed in Psalm 103 how Your mercies just continue. You, even though we fail to seek relationship with You as we should, You continue to draw us. Even though there's sins and failures and weaknesses in our lives, You continue to draw us. Your mercy continues in our lives. And Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You want so desperately to draw us into time alone with You. And I pray, Lord, that You help us use these things by Your Spirit to speak to our hearts of the need that we have, of the opportunity that we have, of the blessings that wait for us in spending time alone with You. We thank You, Father, and we pray that You go with us from this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.